Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, and it's always a pleasure to talk to her, is Cy Montgomery. She's a naturalist, adventurer, and author of more than 30 acclaimed books. And tonight, we're talking about her latest, What the Chicken Knows, a new appreciation of the world's most familial bird. Cy, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you about this book, as always.
Oh, you're right. As always, I love talking with you, Mark.
Yeah, well, you've never written a book I don't like, which is sort of alarming.
Oh, you sweetheart. Well, if it's birdie, I know you're going to like it.
Well, that's the thing with chickens, though. I'm never sure, like, and as you mentioned in your book, you're really looking at a dinosaur. And I think when you're looking at a chicken, it's really pretty dinosaur-y.
Yes.
Especially in the feet.
You can tell.
What brought you to write a book about chickens? You've written about chickens before in The Good, Good Pig.
Yes, they made an appearance for sure there. And also I wrote a book called Birdology in which
That's right.
I wrote about some of the events that take place in What the Chicken Knows. But they deserve their own little book, according to my publishers. And particularly now, chickens, many people got chickens during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
But to my horror, I discovered that when people went back to work, many people just dumped their chickens.
Isn't that amazing? I've actually found like beautiful roosters in several locations while I'm out birding. And they're obviously, you know, we've tried to find, did they belong to anybody? And they were just dumped.
Yeah. Well, there's a rooster rescue.
This I never knew until I read your
book. Who knew this? I'm so lucky. On my street, there's a lot of birdie people, but there's this angel of a woman, Ashley Nagley. She's actually not accepting any more roosters right now. But she and her family, people just kept bringing them these rowdy roosters that would attack. And this rooster's so mean. Or another person would say, I found this rooster walking around in the woods.
Yep, yep.
And I had always wondered during the 20 years that we kept chickens here at our home, Howard and I occasionally would get a rooster who would turn and would attack. And it's the damnedest thing when it happens.
Well, you write about it in this book, and I want to know about that. Like, what, you don't see signs of it coming?
No, you totally don't. In fact, if you raise from little chicks, often the one who turns out to be a rooster is the friendliest, sweetest,
Whoa.
Kindest one of all. And then one day he just decides he has to attack you. And
this sounds like those reports husband. From mass murders when they interview the next door neighbors. He was the nicest, quietest person until he did this.
My God. And it's no joke because these roosters, they have these sometimes enormous spurs and
oh,
they
yeah.
can draw blood. In fact, we had a horrible incident here in which our minister, I was a deaconess in our church, the minister and his wife were dear friends of ours. His wife died, and then later when he was getting remarried, my friend, the pastor, came over with his new wife and her two small children to introduce them to Cy's friendly farm. And it did not go as expected.
This is in the book I want to mention to the audience. What do you do? That's so embarrassing.
Oh, my God. Well, the kids were a little alarmed that the pig was actually 750 pounds and had razor-sharp tusks, so that scared them a little bit. But then Graham, the minister, said, hey, here's someone more your size. And he starts petting the chickens. Well, when you pet a chicken, a lot of times what she will do is crouch down. And this is actually showing how much she enjoys it, but it's
okay.
also known as the sex crouch.
Oh.
And it is done so that a rooster can mount her.
Okay.
Well, our rooster, Clarence, looked up at seeing this from across the barnyard, and to his rooster eyes, our minister was going to have sex with his hen. So he shot across the barnyard and attacked Graham with his spurs. Graham was wearing shorts, and he was bloodied. And the poor children were crying, and the mother was horrified, and I handed them an egg to try to save the
oh,
egg.
Oh, nice,
they quickly
nice.
Broke it in the car and stained the upholstery. It's a very bad scene. What Ashley taught me.
Now, this I find alarming, because I read all this information is in What the Chicken Knows. What she told you is, if a rooster's coming at you, you just pick it up.
You pick him up and cuddle him. I mean, it is so counterintuitive.
Sigh. Have you done this?
Yes.
With a rooster that's about to get in your business?
Well, rather than, I mean, you got to do something to make the rooster not kick you with his spurs. And if you kick him back, that's not going to work for long.
Okay.
And you don't want to run away because, I mean, it's your land too. So it kind of, you know, once you know what to do, you have to pick him up. It's nice if you have a towel so you can kind of handle those spurs. And just carry them around. It's kind of amazing. I mean,
it really calms them down.
It does. I mean, it's kind of. I wish this would infiltrate our prison system. Maybe this would work for all of these inmates in prison. You know, just cuddle them. Don't punish them. Don't just give them love.
Wrap them in a towel and walk
amazing.
Around. So. I need details on this. So this rooster, and I've seen angry roosters, it just like goes limp or you know becomes calm.
Yes, it's quite remarkable.
What happens when you then put it down?
Well, you need to carry him around for a while.
What's a while?
And keep doing it. Well, I don't think that it's, you know, a timed event, but you don't just pick him up for a second and then put him down. What you're trying to show the rooster is, I'm not going to have sex with your hen, and I'm not like a rival in any way, and your hens are safe, and I'm looking after them too, and eventually...
Are you talking to the rooster?
I think humans want to talk to animals. We want to talk a lot. And it's nice for them to hear voices because their own voices, you know, they use their voices to say all kinds of interesting things.
Yeah.
I mean, people think they're just walking around saying bok, 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 but and they do say bok, 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 but they say a lot of other things as well. And it's more nuanced and filled with information than anyone.
Well, that's
really
like any creature. Who has vocalizations? They have a variety of vocalization. Now, I hate to stay on this rooster thing, but he's not trying to peck your eyes out or anything.
No,
I haven't picked up a lot of chickens. I've picked up a few, but I haven't picked up an angry rooster.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put his beak like right next to your eyes.
Okay.
And you don't have to do that if you're carrying him around, because you know who carries anybody around with their beak at your eye level? And I mean, it's generally more like at your chin level. I've never had anyone peck at my eyes ever, lots of birds, but they might do it. And the reason they do it, I think, is not that they want to hurt you, but it's shiny. Your eyes are shiny.
Right, this
is the same reason why gnats fly into your eyes. They think it's water. They don't purposely fly into your eyes because they're probably going to die there. But a lot of animals are attracted to our eyes because they're shiny. I recently had a chicken peck my teeth because they were shiny.
Huh.
And that's hard because how can you hold a chicken and not smile? But I was revealing my shiny teeth. Their beaks are hard too, man. I mean, it was a alarming peck, but it wasn't to hurt me. But when the rooster attacks you, it is to hurt you.
This is such an odd conversation.
You've got to convince them that you're not going to pose a problem for them. And my friend Ashley across the street has had the most amazing results. Some of her roosters love to be hugged, love to be cuddled. She wrote a whole book, which she self-published, about one of her roosters named Carlos.
Yeah.
And her roosters, they love to come in the house. They love to – one of them particularly enjoyed watching her husband repair cars and would just watch fascinated as if he was trying to memorize everything her husband was doing. And another one would find little things and bring them to Ashley.
Wow.
Like little – you know, little shiny objects. I mean, he didn't bring her anything to eat, but she had things to eat. So he brought her things he thought she might enjoy. And one time he brought her, like, a gasket and, you know.
And another person's eyeball.
Yeah, oh, gosh. No. But that's better than now, bring you a
After you, when you've had an encounter like that with the rooster and eventually, you know, it calms down and you put it down, is it therefore calm for the rest of your interactions with it? Or is that something
It depends on the individual.
Sometimes right, and that's one of the things that comes out in your book is stop looking at chickens as a mass of things, but they are individuals that have their own personality and their own being.
Exactly, just like everybody else. And also stop looking at chickens as something on your dinner plate because no one is at their best when they are cooked and eaten.
Okay. Now,
I mean, I'm not saying I realize that there's lots of people who eat meat, but it's so funny when you I Googled chickens once in researching this, and the first thing that came up was not the bird. It was the meal.
Oh, yeah. I can believe that.
I was just shocked. A dear friend of mine who subsequently has won a Pulitzer Prize, a really smart person, she said to me, and I think we were in our 40s at the time, she did not know it was possible to make soup without chicken stock.
Oh, really? She'd never heard of vegetable stock?
I guess she hadn't back when we were 40. Now I'm 66 and she's about my age, so maybe it was less common then. But we think of chickens as food, and then we think of chickens as laying eggs. Again, food.
Food, right.
And I eat eggs, generally from chickens who I personally know who are having a good life.
But that's weird to think about.
But it's so, I mean, we so underestimate animals when we think of them in this way, instead of animals with a complex life and their own kind of language and their own social order and having powers that we don't have as humans. I am in awe of some of what chickens are able to do. And some of this is because of their senses, which are sharper than ours in many ways. But some of it is their intellect. And I was shocked to read about their spatial memory and spatial reasoning, which is something that I lack entirely. I don't know if I was dropped on my head as a baby or what. But I once got lost in our own backyard when I was a child, and it wasn't a big backyard. It was like a quarter acre. But that will not happen to a chicken. There have been studies that show that if you put a chicken even in a new place the chicken has never seen, and even if the new place has no landmarks, they can determine what the center of that space is, like instantly, and no one really knows why. They don't get lost easily. I mean, it's always possible that a fox carries off your chicken, something causes the fox to drop it, and
right.
Now the chicken is God knows where. I had a chicken that this happened to. An owl carried her off, and I didn't see her. I thought she was dead. I just found the feathers and the mark in the snow where the owl had swooped in, and I thought she was gone. But she came back like 2 weeks later with a limp from the woods.
Wow.
She was able to find her way back from wherever the owl had dropped her. And even injured, and even, you know, sleeping in the woods full of predators, including the owl that caught her, she was smart enough to find her way back to our house.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight, and it's always a pleasure to talk to her, is Cy Montgomery, naturalist, adventurer, an author of more than 30 acclaimed books, and we're talking about her latest. I really love this. What the Chicken Knows, A New Appreciation of the World's Most Familiar Bird. We were talking about individual chickens having different personalities. In the book, you mention a chicken called Pickles.
Yes.
Which was essentially, as you phrased it, a special needs chicken.
Yes, she was a challenged chicken. She came, like all of my babies, came in the mail as an egg-shaped chick who just hatched the day or two before. And we saw right away that she had a little bump on her head, and there was a hole in her skull, and the bump was cerebrospinal fluid. So she wasn't quite right. She wasn't, you know, the sharpest tool in the chest. But she got along just fine, and I had a very peaceful flock for years and years and years. It was an even when I got new chickens, they adopted the culture of the flock, and it was very peaceful, and people didn't peck her or harass her, but she obviously wasn't like a super high-status chicken. Well, one day, she always used to, like, do stuff like get way too close to Howard while he was sawing wood or chopping wood. But one day, she came back from roaming around, and she had a horrible wound on her neck. It looked like something had almost severed her head. And the thing about chickens, although they can be very affectionate and thoughtful and generous, if they see blood, they just go berserk. They have to peck at it. And this may be because meat is such a rarity for them, but very healthy for them and full of protein. And maybe when they see blood, they're just programmed to eat the meat. So we had to get her away from the rest of the flock. I took her to our genius vet, Chuck Deviney, who fashioned her with an Elizabethan collar made out of an X-ray. And she stayed inside and lived in the bathroom for a while, which alarmed all the guests that would come to use the loo and find themselves being watched by a chicken wearing an Elizabethan collar made out of an X-ray. But we discovered that she couldn't peck straight.
Whoa.
Used to be you'd give a dish of mash, or there'd be enough scattered on the ground that no matter where you picked, there was something delicious. Well, now I was handing her, like, one Cheerio, and she would always peck to the side. She'd always miss the one Cheerio. And so I had to give her a whole bunch of Cheerios, and it also helped if the Cheerios were floating in something, so they were moving.
Right.
Because typically, you know,
so that she definitely had neurological challenges.
Yeah, she totally did. But she lived a long time,
yeah.
And I returned her to the flock, and after she was healed, everybody accepted her again.
What I love is that there's a product called Stop Peck.
Yes, isn't this great?
This
acknowledges that there's so much trouble with chickens pecking each other that you need a product. And the Stop Peck looks disgusting. It's the consistency of like wet Elmer's glue and looks like blood. You would think that it would attract pecking, but apparently tastes awful. So you can put that product on your chickens. But what I would do is, you know, I would definitely just separate the injured chicken until.
Right.
Because they cannot seem to help it. And, you know, we make light of instinct all the time as if it is evidence that you have no intellect, that we rely on instinct. But humans rely on instinct a lot more than we know. And it's there generally to help us. And every once in a while, you come up to an instance in which your instincts do not serve you well. But the instinct wouldn't be there if it didn't work more often than not.
One of the things I love about chickens is all the different breed and all the different breed names.
Yeah.
I went to one of these massive chicken shows where everybody's exhibiting their show chickens. It was in Springfield, and it was like everybody from all around New England. It was in one of these huge indoor things. And that was the first time I saw a lot of the really wild breeds of chicken, with ones with all the fluffy stuff on top of their head, the ones with fluffy feet, the ones that look like each white feather is outlined in black,
yeah.
Which you have some photographs of these in your book. Are some chickens breeds smarter than other chicken breeds?
I don't know. That might be the case, since it certainly is for dogs. And chickens are very much like dogs in that they are very plastic in their you can breed them to look like almost anything. And you can breed them out of even looking like chickens. I mean, when you think of dogs, you know, think of a little chihuahua and then think of a Great Dane. Or think of
a pug.
Right, think of a pug. And with chickens, folks have been able to do that. They've created these top hat specials, you know, with the big poof on top, like the Polish ones. And then there's the feather-footed fancies who look like they're walking around in their dad's bedroom slippers, you know. And so many different kinds of feathers. Some of their feathers are curly and look like hair.
Yeah.
And the ones that you're talking about, with the black outlined. Those guys are beautiful. One kind is called the mille fleurs, the thousand flower chicken, which I think is a particularly beautiful one. I usually got chickens who did well in cold climates. That was most important to me. But there's even chickens whose tails are like a yard long.
Oh, yeah. Those, especially in Japan, they were really, they're a prized thing to own. And you can get these ones with like just feet long tail feathers, rectuses.
Yes, yes. And boy, but.
And they live a pampered life. It's amazing. They live a really pampered life.
Yes, they do. I mean, their coop's cleaner than my house, I'm sure, because you don't want to be dragging that tail around and stuff. That's the problem with the feather-footed fancies, is a lot of times, you know, through no fault of their own, you step in some chicken poop, and then it's on the bottom of your feather foot. But they're beautiful, beautiful birds, and some of them even lay, like, blue eggs.
Oh, wow.
And not just brown eggs. There's kind of pinkish eggs. And then there's the turkin, which sounds like it's a cross between a turkey and a chicken, but it's actually a chicken, and they have bred a chicken purposely with a naked neck. And my impulse here in cold New Hampshire, particularly after we got our
first snow good. Today, that's not good for New Hampshire.
I want to make them a little turtleneck sweater.
That's right.
I mean, why do that? You often see them and you think, oh, dear, someone is molting. Someone's having an unattractive molt. But no, that is the way that they were bred, and I'm not sure why.
Now, chickens learn to recognize you, and they know the weird thing. One of the weird things I've learned from your book is that they can recognize facial features of other chickens.
Yes, and this is so interesting that they did this study to find out that they not only recognize individual chickens, 100 of them, but they also use the same way to recognize individuals that we do by looking at their face.
Wow.
And the experiment, what it did was it tried to disguise chickens from and see if other chickens could still recognize them in disguise. And they would disguise them by, like, removing some of their feathers or adding extra feathers or coloring their feathers. But even if your chicken was white and suddenly turned out pink, other chickens knew who it was as long as you didn't mess with their face. But
wow.
If you put, like, a fake comb on top of the regular
or a Groucho Marx mustache.
Exactly. It's like wearing a mask. You wouldn't recognize.
That's bizarre.
Friend. Yeah.
And so they can recognize their human owners, too, the same way. They're looking
totally
at you in the face.
And people seem astonished by this. You mean they know you? Well, of course they know you. With chickens, the most important thing in their life is their social connections, and which is the most important thing in our lives, really.
That's right.
You know, we love our friends and family more than anything else. And this is the same thing that drives a chicken's life. It's super important to know your place in your group. I mean, the pecking order is really about order and not about pecking so much. You have a best friend, often two, and you always roost next to that best friend. Or, you know, the two best friends. And you hang out with your best friends. And you also recognize, well, who's the top chicken here?
And so there is a pecking order.
There totally is a pecking order.
Okay.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Humans have hierarchies as well, and as do dogs, as do lots of other social animals.
Right.
And, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not like a caste system. But not everyone wants to be the leader of the group, which is fortunate because you can only have one leader in your group. Because if you had more than one leader, everyone would be going in their own separate direction, and
I was going to ask you about this. We only have a couple of minutes left. Is there an optimal number of chickens for a flock to have? Can it get too large?
Yeah, I think if you have more than 100 chickens, everyone. Well, you know, they talk about town meeting and at what population level can a New England town successfully have town meeting? Because if you have too many people and you try to get them all into the school auditorium and give every citizen a chance to speak,
it's out of control.
Well, the same is true, I think, for chicken flocks.
And different chicken flocks don't necessarily get along, and we can't go into the details of it, but that happened in your book, where the ladies versus the rangers.
Yes.
It's not like they viciously went after each other, but they didn't really like each other.
No, my ladies were always a very peaceful flock. And then our tenant moved in, our new tenant moved in, and she had a flock of chickens, the rangers. And the rangers totally intimidated my chickens, even though they and their kind have been living here for ages. And basically, they moved next door. And
that's
I never
so weird.
Saw them all day. But, yeah, and what this showed me is that different flocks have their own culture. And I hadn't thought of this before. But my ladies were a peaceful culture. The rangers were a bunch of rowdy girls. And they were fun, and they were smart, and they were really cool. But they were totally different from my ladies because they had a different culture.
I think that's wild. And we should mention, and I love this, that all chickens are ancestors of the red jungle fowl of Southeast Asia, where that still lives wild.
Yes, I've seen them.
And they crow like regular roosters.
They look just like the guy on the Kellogg's cornflakes
box. We're completely out of time, and we've only scratched the surface of this book. My returning guest tonight is Cy Montgomery, naturalist, adventurer, and author of more than 30 acclaimed books, and this is another one. We've been talking about her latest, What the Chicken Knows, A New Appreciation of the World's Most Familiar Bird. Cy, it's a pleasure as always.
Oh, the pleasure is mine.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.